the book of Acts, chapter 1. I've done something starting last Sunday morning, of course, Sunday night was a church program. But no matter how long you walk with God, study the Word, look into these things, there comes a time, I think, for the life of a better way of doing it, you need to go back to basics. Amen? Go back to basics. The Bible tells us that we're to store up gifts, that we're to be reminded. There's a lot of things about the history of experience. We let it get stagnant, we let it get stale. I've never changed my opinion that we need revival. We need the Holy Spirit doing His work. So, Sunday morning, in all of that driving rainstorm, I was preaching on the Holy Spirit. And we went back and we took some of these elementary lessons, and I was blessed and pleased. I got texts from people that I don't know that I have ever had a phone call or a text from them. And what they were doing was thanking me for that message Sunday morning. So, praise God. Let me pick up that same element in the talk. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 5, these were the words of Christ. For John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not even with his sins. He describes the baptism of John. He makes a complete distinction between that baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It amazes me and surprises me. I've always thought to say, there are some people that read more than me, but I like to study. You know, one thing means something or something else. But in that study of the Word of God, it amazes me the shallowness and the shortcoming in interpretation. It is very critical, not only what you read, but your interpretation of what you read. It's not the only private interpretation, but you're going to get your thoughts, your ideas, your plans from somewhere. That's the reason that God let us know that the Spirit of God wrote it, gave it. He is the one that interprets it. Humanity do not have any right to any private interpretation. We must abide in, stand by, and trust what we are led to believe by the Spirit of God within us. I want to begin with a simple truth, because in reading a lot of commentary and other ideas, it amazes me how people that do not believe in the Spirit filling us, baptizing us, abiding with us, leading us, how did they come up with some of the thoughts that they come up with? I know when we were on the radio, Brother Colton and myself, helping him, all those years ago, we were on an hour a day. And what we did, at first we went down to the radio station. Then we put some equipment in here. But what we did was, that program was an hour. So one hour, we taught the Word of God. I mean, for 30 minutes, 30 minutes. For 30 minutes, we took questions. And one day, we're dealing with this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there was this call that came and said, you guys have mixed it up. You're making a distinction between the baptism in water and baptism in the Holy Spirit. I don't care how many times you quoted this, you can never get through to that moment. John truly baptized in water. Water baptism is right.
John baptized Jesus in the Jordan River in water. Right? You can pull out the book of Acts. How many times do we read about those that were baptized in water? But Jesus makes this distinction. But I confess you, there is something that is a process of our thought process. But we shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not only to be saved. I believe that it's in my mind, it's true that the church was bought at Calvary. But I believe the church was born on the day of Pentecost. That's like a minor consideration. That has everything to do with everything. I cannot find any place in my Bible where God says that you're saved by being filled with the Holy Ghost. I can show you that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. I can show you the cleansing of the blood through the Old Testament and the New, as it's dealing with transgressions and sins. But there is something about the birth of that church that distinguishes it from everything else. Think about it. Do not leave this place. It is a command. Do not leave until you are filled with the Spirit. Right? That people that have denied, that have gone back and done a lot of things, it was after the day of Pentecost. Peter said, crucify me, so I don't enter this history. I'm not worthy to die like you died. He was running from a rooster coming before that. I believe that when we come to the church, as a matter of fact, go to the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. The fifth chapter of the book of Acts. And read with me verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both what? And women. Now, there is something happening after the day of Pentecost. They were added. That means that in everything that God does, it is for expansion, enlargement. God's not willing that any man would go to hell. We're looking at the very basics. It is the Holy Spirit that fills the church. This is as simple as it gets. But I wanted to go back to the simplicity. Instead of all of this, something new, whatever, He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. What does He fill you with? He fills you with the Spirit. I believe in one baptism. There's nothing about me that's for the Church of Christ, but I'm as bad about one baptism as the Church of Christ. I believe you have to be baptized in water. But I believe that we must understand this is not an ism, this is not a thought, this is the command of God. Carry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be filled with the Spirit. That's in your Bible. When we talk about the Holy Ghost, we're talking about very important, very vital issues that God has with us. How do we overcome the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony? But the Spirit raises up a standard against the enemy when it comes to the life of God. It's in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts that God, by the Holy Spirit, united the church. You know, this is love. I'm trying to say this in a simple way, but yet get it said that the church can be as divided as anything. You have all these opinions. You have these doctrines. You have these teachings. And it doesn't go to this church. Go to 4 or 5 different Sunday school classes and see if you can hear different ideas. I hope you don't. But it may be that you hear something different. I learned a long time ago in my life, when you're studying, when you're praying, if you come up with some kind of a thought, then this is me. I always measure by what I've read, by what I've heard. I compare it with everything that I've ever heard and learned in my life. If I've never heard it anywhere else, I totally have it in my soul. That's the end of that. You didn't get that. There's nothing new under the sun. That's in your Bible. There's a man went to this church, and this has been 40 years ago. He was missing services. His wife was coming, but he wasn't. And so one day, I asked her, I said, "Where's your husband?" She said, "Oh, he's at home. He's studying." When I talked to him, he said, "God told me something while I've been going to church and while I was studying." I said, "Really? What did he show me?" He showed me that the coming of the Holy Ghost is the second coming of Jesus Christ. He joined an organization, and he went to one of their big conventions and talked them into letting him preach. He got up and started to preach that stuff, and the superintendent got up and pulled him by the coat tail and said, "You sit down. There's not one of us in this place where he's what you need. I'll finish this message." Sit him down. One day, he came to me in that old office, and he told me, he said, "I don't believe that you've ever really heard me." I said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. Just hit a man in the office. I think he's waiting for me to start with you." I said, "You tell me what you want to tell me. I'm not going to interfere. I'm not going to interject one thought, one word, one question. I'm going to listen to every word you say. I'll listen to him again. The better part of the mind or whatever it was. He looked at me and said, "What are you thinking?" I said, "I still don't believe the word you said." "I don't believe the word you said." "Well, tell you, it's very important that brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that flowed down Aaron's beard. Unity, agreement. You know why? There's not two opinions in the Holy Spirit. There are not 4 or 5 different truths on any one given truth. If you can change the idea and the meaning, if you can change the meaning, then you have the right to pick what meaning you're going to change. I don't have that right. Am I making sense? I don't have that right. If the Holy Ghost is alive in me, if I read something that may sound strange or too different or whatever, I may just come to the point where I say, I'm just not going to quote you. I'm not going to take that to you. I'm going to give you a scripture from the Apostle Peter. Peter said, "There are things that I brought Brother Paul and said, that I don't understand. I'm an apostle. I don't understand." And he followed it up by saying that they were unlearned, vessel to their own destruction. Did I quote that right? It's possible to get in a debate and an argument with somebody over even a scripture. If you don't have an answer, don't you let anybody change your mind. If you don't agree with me, then let me and you pray together. This is the Spirit of God is given to bring us into agreement. Right? There's unity. different, four or five different ideas myself. I believe that I have testimonies that I've been healed of God. Pentecost is for preaching. God will heal you every time but one. That's where he's going to stuff you out. But it doesn't change God. The fact that I've been healed tells me that if you will believe, you shall receive. There are people that will tell you, I'm not going to turn in front of you. I'm not going to go forward for prayer. You know why? Because they debate, they have doubts, they have fears. Maybe they prayed and they didn't get an answer, so they didn't believe God answers prayer. You know what it does? That brings a disunity to the church. I was a believer, like Brother John Rich said, almost 22 years. Oh, by the way, you know we preached for him Sunday in the hospital. I told you what it was called. That camp, when they rushed into the hospital, what was it, Friday night? We were going to 22,000. His mother and I died today. My granddaughter's band director, was out of hospital, spent 3 months in my hospital with that, almost died. You know what? That young brother John going home yesterday, he was. And you may look at a testimony of someone that did not get well. I'm going to look at John. Is he out there with the boys? I'm going to take God as his word. And that's where the unity comes in. There should be no argument that Jesus is not a healer. There should be no argument. Himself took our infirmities and bore our diseases. And what? By his stripes, we are healed. Peter said, by his stripes, we are healed. I don't even remember what it was. Caleb Boyd said it back there. Some years ago, one day, at the hospital in Houston. And it was a senior sister. We went over, went up to a room, and they had the test results and had everything as it is. Her mother said it. I mean, if you pray for your sister, then you have time to go to the room and you have to be prayed. But we prayed. Couldn't be straight down from wrong. But when I left the 8th or 10th floor of the hospital, I went down to the lobby. By the time I got to the lobby, I got a phone call from her mother. She was working. God, what debate is there? What debate is there? If we're spiritual people, if we are a Pentecostal church, we should believe the word of God. It started with the Spirit. He fills the church. He unites the church. But what he does is he witnesses through the church. You hear me? You shall be witnesses unto me and all the world. I was thinking about this. A man, I read what a man wrote, and poor man. But I read what he wrote, that he was saying, basically, that God only said it one time, and that was in that moment. What did Peter say on the day of Pentecost? When they're talking in tongues. Things are not drunk as you suppose. All of these people that are hearing them speaking in languages. Peter said, this is for you. That man in his writings went to great extent to explain, we're not here with the Spirit today. We do not speak in tongues today. He goes into the song, but Peter said, this is for you. This is for your children. This is for your children's children. This is for all of those that are far off. He's not talking about long physical distance from Jerusalem. He's talking about generations. And they don't like to talk about it. That Peter was not in, Paul was not in the upper room when the Spirit fell. But he said, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than all of you. I can show you where he said, forbid not to speak in tongues. It goes on and on. The church is to be a witness. How many people do you know that are filled with the Spirit of God or given baptism when there's some kind of a spiritual prayer in the church? Maybe their friends have come. Maybe their relatives are with them. They know nothing about it. You remember Garden with them? Garden used to play in these nightclubs. His favorite school rules. I forget it every time. But he went by the faith name of the Rick Johnson. He breaks the Jim Reed for the first time. He sang by Jim Reed. One night, he was invited to come to church on a Sunday night. When they opened those doors to come in, we were already started. I'm telling you, house is full. I don't know if we were all in the same keep, but everybody had an instrument. Nobody knew how to step up. They got back to that middle of the single aisle and guard. Looked at the man who was with, said, man, God, get me out of here. He had all things and he was sick. But he said, well, come on, let's go in. He came in, Brother Clinton preached like a man possessed, and he walked with the Holy Ghost. God and the river came down to the front. I don't think he even knew why. The next night, we had a men's fellowship meeting out of here at Carroll Park. You know what they said? Kill me. God and came in, went out there, and they invited him to eat, and he said, I've got stomach ease out of the pastor. They said, you were spiritual. I said, that's all right. After 3 or 4 bowls of that chili, he joined us. I know people that have problems. No matter what they do, it's the same thing. It's just different. Man, but you know what? There is nobody else in this church that is in here. We are witnesses. We are witnesses. We are testifiers. Anytime anybody comes in this church, instead of us letting them throw us off because somebody has been prayed for and hasn't been healed, we should say to every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, this is the Word of God. This is the promise of God. This is what God said. That's the only thing that matters. That is the only thing that matters. You know why? Not only does your church bear witness to the Spirit, but we are empowered by the Spirit. See, that kind of goes in a course. You may not believe it, but if you will witness to it, if you'll be united with the believers, you can know this. That there is a time and a place where God is going to empower. I've been in this 200 since my life. Because what I saw was real, what I experienced was real. My wife, I don't know how many she would have been, what, 13, 14 years ago, at the end of the day, she started dancing in the spirit. It's a long story. She winds up in that vestibule, dancing in the spirit. When her mom and dad passed the car, took her, put her in the car, she still dancing. My wife, I don't know when she quit dancing, but I know this. You can be so captivated, so enraptured, that God can do anything. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been touched with God so distinctively? I've had it. But have you ever said, God, you have to make this. I can take it anymore. Am I the only one? So enraptured, so caught up, The flesh can only take so much of this divine. I said, God, I just can't take anymore. Only 2 days. He said, I don't believe that. Well, it happened. God empowers the church, you know why? So that you can work. Every bit of what I'm telling you tonight is to tell you that we must be filled with the Spirit. You say, I've heard this all my life. I know it. I've heard it all my life. I've told it all my life. Stir up your memories. Call your remembrance. And I think about this every morning when I came in this Bible. When it just came from the word of God. Now, there in the book, it was the same place which I thought, I think he was, from the coming of the faith. When he brought an offering, he brought a chicken egg. He brought a hand full of meal. That's all they had. He asked one of them one time. He said, why do you believe in this hut that you can't even sell it in the hut? It's because of the hut of sin. You just have to come down, you see. I guess we just never thought about being in the hut. No school. Bush. She was sitting beside a girl, a little girl. Do you know how that girl was? Didn't know English. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and became a corporate slave of the Spirit. She heard it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. This is real. This is real. God wants to do those things. It's not by might or power, but by His Spirit. Divine works. Divine answers to prayer. Divine victories. Overcoming power. I know people that have great needs. God works through those that He has empowered. We're not servants. Lay your hands on the sick and they recover. Freely you have received, freely give. Cast that devil. That's what he said. In my name, you shall cast that devil. The church is empowered to do the works of God. We need to be filled with the Spirit. I'll pick up on something Sunday morning and Sunday night. We need Pentecost. Pentecost. We need Pentecost. They're not giving any amen out of our Pentecostal congregation. We need Pentecost. Now, we're talking about creates the church, builds the church, unites the church, witnesses through the church, empowers the church, works through the church. But the next thing is, he adds things. He enlarges the church. Now, you can get all crushed up in this if you're not careful. You can have a building with a lot of people, and you can say that is a large church. That is a building with a lot of people. But my Bible says that God adds to the church daily, such as the Spirit is saved. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're saved. Doesn't mean you're born again. Doesn't mean your life is changed. Only God can extend and enlarge the church. Only God. I've seen the church play every game under the sun trying to get people to come to church. Do you remember when they tell you, bring your friends to church? We've got a spot. We've got something we're going to give. They bring friends to church. And sometime in the service, the preacher would get up and say, look, before anybody gets to the end of the one time, we put a candle down here under the key. And we're going to tell you, you might be the one sitting on that candle down the bill. So if you would just return to your chair, sit, you have to turn the chair down yourself. I want to revive in Houston. My wife and I were given seats. We got there in the hours of the service hall. It's packed. The ushers in that large church gave us seats, two seats, Aren't you mighty awesome? I love you. It's back, either the back row or the next in the back row of this life. The half hour revival in the Pentecostal church, it goes through weeks and weeks since the pandemic of the place I'm talking about. Brother Clinton went over to have a meal, a lunch, with his big time evangelist. The pastor told Brother Clinton, and if Brother Clinton and I wish that we had to get out of it. The house was so full, people were sitting down the Sunday school room. He said, I'm going to tell you what, this thing is so corrupt that there are people having sex in our Sunday school while we're having sex. Only God by the Holy Spirit can add to this church, his body. Only God the Holy Ghost, he adds to the church daily, such as we deserve. Now, my question. Another thing that we have by the Holy Spirit, we have the leadership. We have the direction. If you get whatever the number of people are, and you are of one mind, you are of one accord, you are in agreement, you are dwelling in unity, you must have direction. And God is the one that directs the steps of the righteous. God never leaves us for an intrusion. I'm telling you tonight, in spite of what that means, in all of that time saying that this was John's baptism, Jesus said, when I'm telling you, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. I would that God would give us a revival. I also want to do it today, which I pray. We always talk against certain things. You know, certain secrets to power and all that things. If I go before that church to take us back to the basic teachings of the Word of God, am I going to be believed that I'm trying to stir something up out of 10 miracle steps? That's not what it is that gets your seat like that. I'm just trying to tell you the words of God. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know where we need to come to. We need to come to the place where we don't say, I'm all right. I'm not filled with spirit, but I'm all right. We need to come to the place where our thought process is. I'm not filled with the spirit. I'm not all right. What? I'm all right and I don't have the Holy Ghost. But I don't have the Holy Ghost. And I need to be filled with the Spirit. That's what Jesus tells me. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. Can you say amen? How many of you are filled with the Spirit? How many of you are not filled? You need to speak. You don't have because you don't have. You don't speak, so you don't pray. You don't know, so it's not open. We've got to come to that place. I want you to pray with me Sunday as we pursue this with the Holy Spirit. May God prepare us not the letter of the truth in us, but He would burn the spirit of life in us with that desire, with that